The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. We've been talking about the book of Job. Job was sitting there on an ash heap pondering the mysteries of suffering. His own suffering was tremendous, and to add to his physical sufferings, we have these so-called friends of his just dishing out theology and putting the blame on Job and making it perfectly clear that they believe that Job must have deserved this punishment because if he were really a just man, God would not have done this to him, which is a very common mistake that we make by assuming that a good man is not going to suffer and a bad man will suffer. Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? Not by any means all the time. Someone has said, doubt is not always a sign that a man is wrong. It may be a sign that he is thinking. Job was a man with plenty of reasons and plenty of opportunity to think long, long thoughts, to ponder the imponderables, to try to unscrew the inscrutable, and to question the justice of God. He tried to fathom the great mystery of suffering. Was he a man of faith, or wasn't he? God said that he was a blameless man. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In chapter 11 of the book of Job, we have the next friend coming along, Zophar the Naamathite. Maybe that's pronounced Naamathite. Some of these Old Testament names really throw me. Anyway, Zophar, I guess we can go with that. He comes along and says to Job, should this spate of words be answered? Must a man of ready tongue be always right? Job has had to put up with the perorations and the preachings of Eliphaz the Temanite and Bildad the Shuhite, and now he has to listen to Zophar saying to him, God exacts from you less than your sin deserves. Can you fathom the mystery of God? Can you fathom the perfection of the Almighty? It is higher than heaven. You can do nothing. It is deeper than hell. You can know nothing. Its measure is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he passes by, he may keep secret his passing. If he proclaims it, who can turn him back? He surely knows which men are false, and when he sees iniquity, does he not take note of it? Can a fool grow wise? Can a wild ass's foal be born a man? If only you had directed your heart rightly and spread out your hands to pray to him. Here's Zophar saying, as we would say nowadays, shape up. The solution lies in your own hands. If you have wrongdoing in hand, thrust it away. Let no iniquity make its home with you. Then you could hold up your head without fault, a man of iron, knowing no fear. Then you will forget your trouble. You will remember it only as floodwaters that have passed. Life will be lasting, bright as noonday, and darkness will be turned to morning. You will be confident because there's hope, sure of protection. You will lie down in confidence. Great men will seek your favor. Blindness will fall on the wicked. The ways of escape are closed to them, and their hope is despair. Now the most pressing question is God going to answer any of this? Will Job win the debate, or will his friends? Who is right? Will the profound mystery of suffering be solved? Well, in chapter 12, Job gets a little sarcastic. He says, no doubt you are perfect men, and absolute wisdom is yours. But I have sense as well as you. In nothing do I fall short of you. What gifts indeed have you that others have not? Yet I am a laughingstock to my friend, a laughingstock, though I am innocent and blameless. In verse 9, he says, who can learn from the cattle, the birds, the creatures that crawl, the fishes of the sea? Who can learn from these that the Lord's own hand has done this? Job is pointing out to them, this is God who brought this thing about. This is not me. And we know that that's true from the first two chapters of Job. In God's hand are the souls of all that live. If he pulls down, there is no rebuilding. If he imprisons, there is no release. If he holds up the waters, there is drought. If he lets them go, they turn the land upside down. In other words, God's in charge of everything. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And there is nothing that God might not do. He makes counselors behave like idiots. He drives judges mad. He loosens the bonds imposed by kings and removes the girdle of office from their waists. He makes priests behave like idiots and overthrows men long in office. There certainly are some interesting word pictures that Job paints here, aren't there? I think we can relate a lot of these to present-day life. The things we read in the newspapers and see on television, they're described here. There's nothing new about the sins of men and the disasters that God allows to strike them. But then Job begins to talk about partiality for God. He has seen all these things with his own eyes, and with his own ears he has heard them and understood them. But he says to his friends, what you know, I also know. In nothing do I fall short of you. But for my part, I would speak with the Almighty and am ready to argue for God. Interesting, isn't it? An interesting switch. For a long time, he seems to be the adversary. And now here he is, showing partiality for God. While you, like fools, are smearing truth with your falsehoods, stitching a patchwork of lies, one and all. Ah, if you would only be silent and let silence be your wisdom. Now listen to my arguments. Attend while I put my case. Is it on God's behalf that you speak so wickedly, or in his defense that you allege what is false? Job is kind of sick and tired of listening to the propaganda. Must you take God's part or put his case for him? Will all be well when he examines you? Will you quibble with him as you quibble with a man? I think that Job's friends were kind of, well, they really had rather squishy minds, and they were sentimental about a lot of things. Sentimentality breeds an illusory kind of faith. Job says, God will most surely expose you if you take his part by falsely accusing me. Will not God's majesty strike you with dread and terror of him overwhelm you? Your pompous talk is dust and ashes. Your defenses will crumble like clay. Now he's right about that, you know. When we get to the end of the book of Job, we discover that their defenses did crumble. And God tells Job that he was the one who spoke the truth about him, and not they. And so Job stands up for God against all the conventional orthodoxy of his three friends. It doesn't have a satisfactory answer. Job is a man of deeper faith and deeper thought than they are. They're dishing out clear, flat platitudes that have never been tested in their own lives. But Job was honest, unsparing, and incisive in his assessment of the human condition. And then In chapter 13, verse 15, we see very plainly that he has not given up on God. He has not packed in. He has not thrown in the sponge. He has not defied God. He says, if he would slay me, I should not hesitate. I should still argue my case to his face. This at least assures my success, that no godless man may appear before him. Listen then, listen to my words and give a hearing to my exposition. Be sure of this, once I have stated my case, I know that I shall be acquitted. Job is aware that there is nowhere else to turn. God is his refuge. His faith remains absolutely sound that God knows what he's doing. But his faith does not reveal the whys, does it? We want to know how such and such a thing is going to work out. How could this possibly fit into a pattern for good, this thing that has happened? Why would God do this to me when I have done such and such for him? These are the mysteries that we have to carry within our hearts if we are going to trust God and walk by faith and not by sight. That mother who is in despair over training her children to be civilized and courteous and kind to each other. How is it ever going to happen, Lord? And the Lord is faithful to you. He knows your prayers, he knows your tears, and he knows your earnest and honest efforts. And he's with you, and he wants you to trust him and to do only what you can do today. Don't look at tomorrow. Don't fear the future, but trust him now. Job was sure that somehow, somewhere, sometime, he would be vindicated, and God would reveal himself and perhaps answer some of his questions.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.